Job chapter 14, we've been looking at some of the questions that Job and his companions ask. And in Job chapter 14 and verse 4, Job asks this question: who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And Job answers the question. He says, no, it's one. And then there's a question very much related to that that we find in chapter 25. Job chapter 25, and again it's verse 4. This time it's Bildad, the Shuhite, who is asking the question, but we won't be too concerned about that. In Job 25 and verse 4, he asks the question, how then can man be justified with God? Or, how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And how can he be clean that is born of a woman? And that's the two questions that we want to consider very simply tonight. We're going to speak about the subject of cleansing. Cleansing. We're going to think about the need for cleansing. The need for you and I to be cleansed, to be washed from our sins. Then we're going to think of the means of cleansing and the way to cleansing. And finally, we'll think about the results of being cleansed. Job asked the question, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? What Job is really pondering is this: how can something that is pure come out of something that has been contaminated? How is it possible for something to come out of a river that has been contaminated at its source? How can something come out of a contaminated river that is pure and wholesome and healthy and clean? And Job answers the question. He says, it's impossible. There's not a single individual can bring something clean out of something that is unclean. I noticed a modern translation that translated that verse like this: there is no way a human can be completely pure. And that's really what Job is pondering in his mind as he asks that question. He's thinking, how is it possible for an individual to be born pure and sinful and sinless and clean? Because you see, we live in a human race that has become contaminated, defiled by sin. We want to speak about that tonight. We want to speak about the subject of original sin. We're going to speak about the effect of sin, not only in Adam, our first parent, but we're going to think about the fact of sin in all. And we're going to show within a shadow of a doubt tonight that the whole human race has become polluted and has become contaminated by sin. And that sin has its defiling effects on all of our lives. And because of that, we need to be cleansed. The fact of sin in Adam. Adam, of course, was the first man that was created. Created from the dust of the ground. Created by the hand of Almighty God. God created man, Adam, in all innocency. He placed him in the most favourable surroundings of the Garden of Eden, and he gave him everything that was good for food, and he placed him in these beautiful surroundings with one prohibition: that he must not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the only restriction that was placed upon Adam. He could eat of the fruit of all the other trees but that one. And there came a moment in Adam's experience when he did the very thing that God told him not to do. He disobeyed. He sinned. He sinned. In that very moment when he stretched out his hand and partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the very seed, the germ of sin, was planted not only within his own heart, but that seed, that germ of sin, was planted in the whole of the human race that issues forth from him. And the Bible tells us that as by one man, that is Adam, sin entered into the world. And we go way back to the scene of the garden that we've been alluding to. And there we see the fact of sin in that one particular man, Adam. He rebelled, he disobeyed, he sinned against God. But his sin had an effect not only on himself, but his sin had an effect on you and it had an effect on me. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 5 that Adam begat a son in his own likeness, after his own image. In other words, what the Bible is saying is this, that the son that proceeded from Adam was just like his father. And by that time, his father had become a sinner. The seed of sin, the germ of sin, the contamination of sin was within his heart. And when he produced a son, that son bore all the characteristics of the father. The son was a sinner. My friend Adam was the very womb from which the whole of the human race has issued from. And the whole flow of the human race was contaminated right at its source. Adam became a sinner by one act of disobedience, and he brought sin right into the world. And thus David said, he says, behold, he says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And David was conscious that he was a sinner right from the very moment of his conception in the womb. My friend, that's true about you, and that's true about me. That from the very moment we were born, we had a nature. Before we were born, we had a nature. We had a propensity within us towards that which was sinful and rebellious. You see, my friend, I committed a sin. When I committed my first sin, I didn't become a sinner. But it was the fact that I was a sinner that I committed my first sin. That's why you committed your first sin. And that's why you've committed every sin. It's because you are by nature a sinner. It's at the very core of your being. It's at the very centre of your nature. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by nature. And the reason we sin is because we are sinners. It's instinctive in our nature. The psalmist says that the wicked go astray from the very womb. They go astray as soon as they are born. And that's true, isn't it? You think of the little children that you've reared in your home, and you've seen others rear around you. And they never ever need to be taught to do what's wrong. They never need to be taught to say no. They never need to be taught to say lies. They never need to be instructed to disobey. It just comes instinctively. It's in their nature. They were born with a sinful nature, and that sinful nature expresses itself in the sins that they commit day by day. And it's only a fool that would argue with that to me. In fact, John, as he writes his epistle at the end of the New Testament, he says, if we say that we have no sin, then we just deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And he says, if we say that we have not sinned, then we make God a liar. I don't think there's anyone in the meeting tonight that would be as presumptuous, as so arrogant as to make statements like that. My friend, you know that you've sinned. And you know within your heart that you are a sinner, that you've got the seed principle of sin within your heart. And so God looks down on the human race and he says, there's not a just man on the earth. There's not one that does good. Not even one. My friend, the whole human race has become polluted. The whole human family has become contaminated with sin, right from its source, right down through the generations of time, right down to you and I. We're contaminated, we're defiled by sin. It's in our nature, and it's practiced in our lives, moment by moment and day by day. What is the effect of sin? Well, sin has many effects on our life, but the effect that we're highlighting tonight is the fact that sin defiles us. Sin makes us unclean in the sight of God. Sin makes us filthy. Sin makes us dirty. You might think that's strong language to me. You might think that's language that is unbecoming a preacher of the gospel, to tell men and women and young people that they're filthy in their sin. But that's the language that God uses. We read a verse in Job chapter 15 that says, "Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man who drinks iniquity like water?" So God looks down on the human race today. He looks down on the population of this little village of Newcomnock, and he says concerning men and women that they're abominable, they're filthy in their sins, dirty. The psalmist says in Psalm number 14, he says, in fact, he says, we're all together become filthy. And there's none righteous, there's none that does good, no, not one. The prophet Isaiah, he underlines the same truth in chapter 64 of his prophecy when he says, but we are all as an unclean thing. I wonder, my friend, have you ever felt as if you were dirty and filthy and abominable before God? Because that's what your sin has made you. That's what my sin has made me. That is God's estimation of it. That's God's analysis of it. That's God's statement about you and about I, that before him we're filthy, we're unclean, we're defiled by sin. But we don't like to think that, do we? We like to think that, you know, there's a wee bit of good in us. We like to think that God looks on the good things that we do and gives us little brownie points every day. But God looks down in your life and mine and he says, filthy, dirty, unclean, abominable, vile. Some realisation that to come, doesn't it? But that's exactly where Job came to later on in this book. Before he got to the end of the book in chapter 40, that's where he's crying out from the depths of his soul. He says, oh, behold, I am vile, I am vile. You see, what kind of man was he? Was he an adulterer? Was he a murderer? Was he a wife beater? The Bible says of all the men of the East, there wasn't a man like him. He was good and he was upright. And he was morally clean. But you know, he came to this awful experience, this awful understanding that before a holy God he was vile. He was vile. And two chapters later on, in chapter 42, he says, I abhor myself. I abhor myself. I hate myself because I'm so unclean. I'm so dirty in the sight of God. My friend, it's only when we get a revelation like that of ourselves that we'll have any desire to be cleansed. There was a man called Isaiah, we've already mentioned him. He was one of the Old Testament prophets. And you know, he saw a vision of God one day. And he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Oh, my friend, in the presence and the sight of God, he realized he was unclean. Have you come to that today? That's where sin has put you. How can something clean come out of something that is unclean? It's impossible. And you and I are part of a human race that is contaminated, that is filthy with sin. And how can we possibly be clean if that was the source from which we came? Impossible. We're all sinners. And as sinners, we're filthy and unclean in the sight of God. Well, what was the second question that we asked? How can he be clean that is born of a woman? If it is true that every individual that is born of a woman is unclean, then how can that man be, how can that man or that woman, how can he be made clean? How can he be made clean? That's maybe what you're asking to me. Because maybe you're aware in your own heart that you are unclean, that you are defiled before God. Maybe you've just had a little glimpse of the filthiness, the dirtiness of your sin in the sight of a holy God. And maybe you're saying, how can I be cleansed? How can I be clean from my sin? Well, you know, there's nothing you can do to cleanse yourself. The wise man Solomon, he asked the question in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9. He says, who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. There's not one of us, can we? There's no man can cleanse his own heart. There's no man that can make himself pure in the sight of God, not even with all the righteousnesses that we do. Because Isaiah tells us that even all the righteousnesses are just like filthy rags. Not even fit for the bin, never mind the washing machine. Filthy rags. God says, there's nothing I can do with your righteousness. I don't even want them. He says, I can't even look in them. Even the best things that you do, he says, are totally unacceptable to me. He says, because everything you do is tainted that you are. And if we're sinners, and we are, then it means that everything that we do, everything we try to do, is tainted by what we are. It's tainted by sin, and thus it's unacceptable to God. God says, even your righteousness are just as filthy. There's nothing we can do to cleanse ourselves. We cannot make ourselves pure. So how? How can a man that is born of a woman be clean? How can we be cleansed from our sins? Well, I want you to take your way back 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago in the town of Nazareth, there was a young woman. She was a virgin. She was a righteous girl. She was looking and longing for the coming into the world of the promised Messiah, the promised deliverer of the Jews. And as she sat in her home one day, she had a visitor from heaven, an angel visitor, and says, "Listen, Mary, you're going to give birth to a child." Child? She says, "But how's that possible? I've never been intimate with a man. I'm a virgin. It's impossible." The angel says, "Listen, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And the power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." Oh, here's the exception to the rule that we spoke about a few minutes ago. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And the answer was this: no one. But here is one who in herself was unclean. She was a sinner just like you and I. Mary the Virgin was just as much a sinner as me and you. And yet out of her, there came one that was absolutely spotless and pure and holy. And his name is Jesus. He's the only one that has come forth from the human race absolutely untainted by sin. That holy thing that shall be born of thee. And we don't have time to go through the New Testament tonight just to underline the verses that bring before us the spotless purity of the man called Jesus. The Bible says, in him is no sin. He's pure, he's perfect, he's righteous, he's sinless, he's holy. Why was this one born of the Virgin? Why did this clean one come out of the unclean? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ associate himself with a fallen, sinful humanity? Why did he come? Well, the writer to the Hebrews tells us why he came. He came to make purification for sins. He came to make cleansing for our sins a possibility. And you know, the writer to the Hebrews tells us that he's done that to absolute perfection, and that's why he's now sat down on the right hand of the Majesty in high. My friend, that Christ came to wash away your sins. Christ came to cleanse you from all the filthiness and the dirtiness of your sins. He came to make you clean before God. You see, how did he do that? Well, he didn't do it with a life that he lived. He did it through the death that he died. You see, the life of the Lord Jesus, that just exposes our sin. But praise God, his sacrificial death offers us cleansing from our sins. The Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus offering himself without spot unto God. The Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus laying down his life. The Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus shedding his blood. And it's that blood that cleanses from all sin. Oh, my friend, isn't it wonderful that the God that looks in it and says, hey, you're filthy, you're dirty, you're abominable, you're unclean, and your sin, is the same God who in his love and mercy says, listen, he is cleansing for you. He is purging. He is washing. You can be made clean. All the dirtiness and the filthiness can be washed away forever. You can stand pure in my sight through the spotless blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Zechariah, one of the Old Testament prophets, he says, in that day there shall be a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. And that's what happened at Calvary. When the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood at Calvary, there was a fountain that was opened to cleanse sin and uncleanness. There is a fountain. That's what we sung, wasn't it? There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. How can a man that is born of a woman be clean? How can you be clean? How can all the filthiness of your sin be washed away? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. There's no other agent for cleansing. There's no detergent in earth. There's no washing powder. My friend, there's nothing. There's no other means of cleansing from your sin but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. But that blood must be applied. That blood must be applied. Maybe you're saying tonight, yeah, I know that before God I'm filthy in my sins. My sins are abominable. I know that in myself I'm vile, I'm unclean, I'm defiled, and I long to be cleansed, and I know that Jesus' blood can cleanse me from all my sins, but how can I get it? How can I leave this meeting tonight with all the filthiness of my sins removed forever? How can I be clean? If we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is all that he's asking you to do, is confess. That was the cry from the heart of David in Psalm number 51. David was a king in Israel. Yet he realized he was a sinner. He realized his whole life was open and bare before a holy God. And God saw him in all the filthiness of his sin. And he cries out, oh God, he says, wash me. Wash me completely from my sin. He says, cleanse me from my sin. Purge me and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I wonder, is that the longing in your heart tonight? Just to be clean. Just to be pure. Just to have all the vileness and the filthiness of your sin just washed away. God says, listen, you confess your sin to me, and he says, I'll cleanse you. In fact, he says, come now. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool. Come now, he says. That's not the preacher that's telling you to come to me. That's God. The great God of heaven that sees all the filthiness of your sin. He says, listen, listen. He says, come to me. He says, cleansing's available through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. He says, come to me. He says, come right now. And he says, even although your sins are as scarlet, deep dyed, he says, they'll be as white as snow. White as snow. Friend, would you know, love, the assurance of that day? Just to know that every spot and every stain of sin was gone forever. Because God promises that He'll remember them no more, that they're totally now, they're cleansed away, washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. And God exhorts you today. God appeals to you. The God that you've sinned against. The God that must turn away from your sin, yet He appeals to you to come to Him and confess your sin, and He's promised that He'll cleanse you from every one of them. Not just some, but every sin washed in the precious blood of Jesus. What's the result? Well, you know, Paul wrote to a little group of Christians in a city called Corinth many years ago. They were really quite a mixed bag, a bag of individuals. And Paul writes to them, and he says, you know, he said, there's certain individuals, and he says, they can never inherit the kingdom of God. They can never have any place in God's scheme of things. People like fornicators, and adulterers, and idolaters. People who are effeminate, people who abuse themselves with mankind, people who are thieves, who are covetous, who are drunkards, who are revilers, who are extortionists. He says, people like that will never inherit the kingdom. And there's people like that in the meeting tonight. But Paul wrote to these people in Corinth, he says, listen, he says, you used to be like that. But you've been washed. You've been washed. You've been washed. You've been washed. Yeah. You know your lifetime. You know the type of sins that you've been involved in. You know the bad thoughts, the bad actions, the immorality, the filth, the lies, the deceit. You know everything that's going on in your life. And all these things debar you from a place in God's kingdom. But God says, listen, listen, there's a way for you to be made clean. There's a way for all these things that you've done in the past to be washed away. It's the blood of Jesus. If you confess your sins, then the blood of the Lord Jesus will become effectual in your life, and it will wash the slate clean. And the Lord will be able to say, that's what you used to do. You used to be a fornicator. You used to be an adulterer. You used to be an idolater. You used to be a liar. You used to be a thief. But you're washed. You're washed. You're sanctified. And you're justified. My friend, would you not like to walk out that room tonight? The God pointing His finger at the washing. He's saying, hey, you're washed. You're washed. You're washed. You're washed. You've been made clean in the blood. That's what God wants to do tonight. That's why His Son shed His blood in Calvary, that your sins might be washed clean. So, I know this in Revelation chapter 1, there's a whole multitude of people in heaven. They're all singing, they're praising. And their praising is unto the one that sits in the throne, and they say unto Him that loved us and washed us from His sins, from our sins, in His precious blood. My friend, I'm going to be part of that crew. Are you? Are you? And everyone that gets to heaven, they're going to have that precious song in their lips. Unto Him that washed them. That cleansed them from their sins. And His precious blood. Mind you, if you're ever going to be in heaven, then you'll need to experience cleansing. Because we read the verse a few nights ago that nothing that defiles will ever enter Him. There's nothing unclean will ever get to heaven. Heaven is where God is. God is holy. Is God going to allow anything to defile heaven? My friend, your sin is going to keep you out of heaven. But God says, listen. Listen, I've made provision for you to be cleansed, for you to be washed, for all that defilement to be removed. I wonder tonight, my friend, are you going to become fitted for heaven? By coming just as you are, a poor, vile, filthy sinner, and just coming to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, just wash me. Cleanse me. you going to come tonight and experience washing? Or are you going to be like those that we read about in Revelation 21? Those that are filthy and just want to be filthy still. That's sad that there are many people when you come up, and that's just where they are tonight. They just want to continue the way they are. They don't want to change. They like their sin. They revel in their sin. They wallow in their sin. They pride themselves in their sin. They don't want to give it up. Let those that be filthy just be filthy still. That'd be sad, wouldn't it? It'd be sad if you went out of the room just the way you come in, filthy and vile in your sin. And all the time God is saying, listen, there was one that loved you so much that he shed his blood for your cleansing. Will you not come and be cleansed? Will you not come and be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus? Listen to God's promise to me. It's a promise to you. If you confess your sin, then I'm faithful and just to forgive it and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Eh? Well, you know, test God tonight. Put God to the test tonight. Prove that he's faithful. All he's asking you to do is confess. And he says, listen, I'm faithful and true. And I'll do the rest. I'll effect the cleansing on the basis of the shed blood of the Saviour. How can something clean come out of an unclean? How can he be clean that is born of a woman? That came into this world polluted by sin, contaminated, defiled by sin. But my friend, we can leave this world. Yeah, we can leave this whole time. But all the contamination of sin washed clean in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. But the choice for that cleansing is yours. You can choose to be filthy still, or you can choose tonight to confess and to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, again, we just bow before thee and thank thee for the tremendous provision, the full provision that thou hast made for the cleansing of all men. We do thank you, O God, for that precious blood that was shed at Calvary. We thank you, O God, that it's lost nothing of its cleansing power. And we thank you, O God, that everyone that avails themselves of that blood tonight will be cleansed from all their sins and will be fitted, not only for heaven, but fitted to enjoy a life with thee and for thee down here below. So we just ask that you would bless your word to those that have listened to it tonight. And we do pray that it would take glory to thy name in bringing individuals to that point where, as it were, they plunge beneath that fountain and know the experience of the cleansing of the precious blood of the Saviour. We ask these things in the Lord's name and for his glory.